established it from the beginning of the world. Vayishma Yisro. Rashi says, Ma Shmua Shoma Uvo. A lot of people hear reports of things that happen, but it doesn't motivate them to do anything. They turn over on the other side, they're awakened, they hear the news, like you listen to the radio early in the morning, you turn off the radio, you turn over on the other side, you go back to sleep. Yisro was not that type of a person. A lot of people knew that Yitzias Mitzrayim was not a carefully guarded secret. People knew in the world what was happening. Egypt was the mightiest power in the ancient world. And they were drowned in the ocean. So it was an international disaster that occurred to Egypt. It wasn't kept a secret. But what was unique about Yisro is that it motivated him to action. Ma shmua shoma ubo. What did he hear that motivated him to come? That was unique about him, and that's what we want to know. What motivated him to come? There are many Bachim sitting in the Beis Medrash and they listen to a shmuz. But it's the Yechidim among them who are listening, who are motivated to do something about what they heard. And the rest don't feel it applies to them. There's a joke that we used to tell in the yeshiva that there was this Rav who designed the whole sermon one Shabbos morning for one Bala Boss in the shul. He couldn't speak to him directly on what he wanted to give him Musaran. He wouldn't be able to take it, it would be too personal. So he spoke generally. After the davening, the people come over and they give the Rav, you know, a good Shabbos. But this guy comes over and he gives the Rav a good Shabbos and he says, Rav, you gave a sermon today that was not real. It was so terrific. The rabbi feels so good. Here he designed a whole sermon just for this guy and it looks like he reached him. So he continues to talk and he says, you really gave it to them. So that's what usually happens. It's always giving it to them. Never to yourself, never to the person himself. Yisro was not that type of a person. What motivated him to leave his position as a Kohen of Midian and come to join up with Moshe Rabbeinu in the middle of the desert? What motivated him? The person hears something that wakes him up and that stimulates him, he then has to move ahead and do something about it. Not just forget and turn over on the other side, turn off the alarm clock and go back to sleep. That's not the idea of waking up from a Torah perspective. That's the first thing I wanted to share with you. The second thing I want to share with you is a gewaltig insight here in Rashi that I heard from our Rogos itself. You may have heard me mention the name Rav Ogloff in the past. I learned by him from 18 to 21, and he turned me from a high school kid into a Ben Torah. Mamish made me a Ben Torah. Especially those years are so crucial, you know, for a young man 18 to 21. And the point that he emphasized was why these two things are mentioned in Rashi and the Chazal, the Gemara and Zochim. Ma shmua shoma uvo. What did he hear that motivated him to come? He heard Kriyas Yamsuf and Mechomas Hamamet. Why these two things? Kriyas Yamsuf we can understand, but Egypt was the mightiest power in the ancient world, and this is something that just destroyed the whole country overnight, walked into the ocean, and drowned. at a moment it's harder to understand. There are a lot of experiences that happen to B'nai Yisrael that maybe were more miraculous than a moment. Why aren't these two things mentioned? What did he hear that motivated him to come? Kriyas Yam Suf and Milchomas Amalek. Why these two things, these two events? I'll tell you what Rav Rogos itself said about the Pshat. Every Friday morning, every day we had a regular blat shir. On Friday mornings, there was a pilpul shir for an hour, and then a Devar Torah for a shmuz for a half hour. In those years, Chicago didn't have a mashgiach in the yeshiva. So every Rebbe used to speak in hashkofas and shmuzim for his own shir. So Tarshish Yisrael came once, so he gave this Gedalta court. He says, you know what motivated Yisrael to leave the relative comfort and security of his home and to join up with Moshe Rabbeinu in the middle of the desert? He heard Kriyas Yam Suf and Milchomas Amalek. What's the pshat, he said? Kriyas Yam Suf, he heard that Yisrael reached the Gevaltik Madrega at Kriyas Yam Suf. He said, Zeh Kei V'en Veil, like they pointed with a finger. This is my God. They saw the Eberstein. They reached the Gevaltik Madrega of the Chorus Hashem. And then, after they crossed the ocean, it says Amalek attacked them in Rephidim. Why Rephidim? Shirofu Yedehem Mina Torah. They started to slacken off in their learning of Torah, and Amalek comes. Eifershir permits Amalek to attack the Yidden. This is what he heard. So he recognized that even though he has started to recognize Hashem, he started already to realize that the Eberster is the true God of the world. But he recognized also that if he's just going to stay home and not going to make an effort to come closer to Hashem, then Rafu Yadeya Mina Torah, he can start to slack off also. It's not enough to reach a certain madriga. You have to stay there and you have to keep going closer to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. You can't take a vacation. Eden says that Kaili Vianvehu, before you looked around, a Molech attacked them, Shirofu Yadeya Mina Torah, but they stopped growing. They stopped coming close to Hashem. So Amalek attacked them. That's what he mentioned. He used to speak about that topic a lot. How a person has to keep on growing, never to feel he's a finished product. He made it. And that's the second point that I wanted to share with you. They're both extremely vital for obvious reasons. And the same Rashi mentions that Yisrael's, among his names, was Chovov. Why was he called Chovov? Rashi says, Shechibev es HaTorah. He had a special love for Torah. So I wanted to relate this Rashi to another Rashi, also Midrashim. Pasuk Hey, look at Pasuk Hey, please. Vayavo Yisro Chosen Moshe Ubanov Ishto Moshe El Hamidbor Asher Huchone Shom Har Elokim. Look at Rashi El Hamidbor. Af Onu Yodim Shiva Midbor Hoya. It's not new that the Yidden were in the Midbor. Elokim Beshivcho Shal Yisro Dibra Kosev. The Kosev wants to praise Yisro. Shoya Yoshe Bichodo Sha'omon, he had Gevaltik Kovet, living where he was a Kohen. The Nodvo Libo, and his heart prompted him, what says him on Midbor, to leave it all behind, the comfort and relative security of his home, and go to a place of Tohu Vavohu, to go to a Midbor. Nodvo Libo, what says him on Midbor, to go out to the desert, Mokom Tohu, a place of the wasteland, lishmoa divrei Torah, to hear words of Torah. If a person has a love for Torah, it has to be reflected in sacrifice. If a person has a love for family, he has to be ready to make a sacrifice for his family. A person just can't love something theoretically. If you love something, it means that you're willing to make sacrifices. And that's what the Yisroel did. Also, if a person wants to come close to Torah, he wants to achieve something, he has to be prepared. He loves a certain thing, he wants very much to achieve a certain objective. He has to make sacrifices. If not, he's not going to acquire it. There's a Gevaltig Rabbeinu Bechai here. I forgot about it until I started to review the Parsha. Gevaltig Rabbeinu Bechai, you must make a note of it. It's at the end of chapter Yudches. I'm going to translate a few lines for you, although the vocabulary is easy, just, you know, for emphasis. It's at the end of his commentary on Pasuk Chof Amar. At the end of chapter Yudches. Because Rabbeinu Bechai, if you want you to make a note on it so you can look it up later inside, or on Shabbos, you can look it up inside. Well, the Rabbeinu Bechai from the Gedolei HaRishonim, Bo Ur A, he says, Kama Koach Gedo Mamos Amidos. He says, and I want you to point out, come and see with me, he said, the superlative place that Midos has in the Torah framework. Bo urei kamo koach v'godo mamos amidos. Shemol nishtafchu tzadikim v'neviyim b'toyer. Wherever you look in the Torah, you find that neviyim and tzadikim are praised because of one thing, he says. It's a long sentence. For example, Noah, Avraham, Yaakov, Uzumosom, and similar giant personalities like these people, the Tarei HaChochma, they're not praised by how much knowledge they know, or how brilliant they are, how great their IQ is. The Tarei HaChochma, Atfun of the Das. They're not praised by how brilliant they are mentally, intellectually. King Vitare Amidos. They're praised by their Midos. Throughout the Chumash, he says, throughout Nach, you find that. Nemar Benoach, East Sadik, Tomim Hoyo. Nemar Bavraham, Haye Tomim. Biakov, Ish Tam, Vechen Bemoshe, On of Mio. By Midos, they're all praised by Midos. Why? Why aren't they praised by how much knowledge they are, by how smart they are, by how brilliant they are? Kol zeh ohoros, all of this is to show us and teach us. Ki ein ikur hachochma, the main thing is not knowledge. El yosher hamidos, the main thing is for man to have glat, kosher Midos. The Midos should be straight. Kishem she'ein ha'imon ikor el-ra'pri. You have a fruit tree, the main thing is not the tree, it's the fruit. Chen dor shu'chazal. She'kol tov, seichel tov mo'chol o'seihem. Mo'chol o'mdehem mo'nemar, ela mo'chol o'seihem. That which is good is that which a person practices. Referring to his midos, not that which he knows, it remains with him in potential. The Baltic Rabbeinu Bechai. The midos is everything in terms of Yiddishkeit. All the great personalities of Nach are praised because of their midos.
How do you see where, which part of the pasuk from?
What?
Which part of the pasuk from you go? Because I should say Ashi Emes?
Probably, yes, that's what I figured, because he describes the judges who were going to assist Moshe Rabbeinu in judging the people. He describes them by their midos. He praises them by their midos, not by their knowledge. The truth is that no matter how much a man knows, if he doesn't have good midos, he'll pervert. He'll pervert his knowledge. He won't be honest. He won't recognize the truth even of what he himself is saying. Uish Moshe one of Miod. Moshe was, his humility is praised, not anything else.
The last point you said,
Rabbein Lechai. Yes?
The last point you said, Rabbein Lechai.
What?
The last point where you said, Rabbein Lechai, that it says that so, gifting is something that.
What?
The last point where you said, Rabbein Lechai, I didn't quite get
it. I don't remember exactly, but I was pointing out that the things, the qualities for which our great personalities are praised and not, are all midos. Not intellectual qualities, but their midos. We don't read that Moshe Rabbeinu had a photographic mind. We read he was the most humble man in the world. And similarly, that's the point that was made. And that's Rabbeinu Bechai said at the end of chapter 18. Many times, somebody didn't come to the yeshiva from Kutzmor to say hello, so Talmi is married, and I'm very real, I'll ask him how the Shalom Bayis is getting along. Why do I ask that question? Because if he says the Shalom Bayis is fine, Baruch Hashem, then I know that he's fine. Because a person married, he can't have good shalom bayis unless he's working on his midos all the time. A marriage, you have to work all the time for the couple to keep growing closer together. And if he says, Baruch Hashem, Rebbe, everything is fine with us, then I know that he's doing well in everything. Because learning Torah depends on midos. The Memchas Torah, Shetorah, Nitnis, Bohem, we mentioned it. Are all midos tofos, they're todos of the mita of another. The Beinodim Lamachom, the Beinodim Lachavero, certainly depends upon midos. And the Chazon Ish writes, Beinodim Lamachom also depends on midos, but it's more subtle. I'll tell you a story that the Chazon Ish gives to illustrate this point. I think he writes it in, he speaks about Amunah. He writes that he has one chapter there on Midos also. I think that's where he writes it. He tells an interesting story. A guy went to shuls Friday night. He was hoping to bring home a very choshev dikor reyach. And sure enough, he sees after shul, he's a very choshevdik person. He's talking and learning with everybody. People are like standing in line to get him to come to their house for supper. And he wins out, and the guy goes home with him. And they sit at the table, they're talking Torah, so he sees that this man is really a big Talmud Chacham. As he's enjoying the Shabbos meal, Chazon Ish tells the story. Not a fairy tale, it's a Maisa Shehoyo. He sees that the oil that's in the lamp that's burning, you know, by the ceiling, that the oil is going to go out in another 5 minutes, the house is going to be pitch black. But the guy was talking so much Torah that they didn't put in enough oil to last extra, you know, every night they put in so much oil, every Saturday Shabbos night they put in so much oil that would last for the Suda. Here they're talking so much Torah, he sees that in 10 minutes they're going to be sitting in the dark. And the thought of it embarrassed him. Here he brings home such a question to get Talmud Chochem, and all of a sudden they're going to be in pitch blackness. Fabius candles obviously were going out a long time before. Anyway, Devishtra helps and the guy has to go to the bathroom. As soon as he leaves the room, the man, without thinking, he was so nervous about the thought of being so embarrassed, he jumps up and he puts in a little oil into the candle that's burning, into the menorah that's burning. And he should be a rice. The Chazon Ish used that as an example, and it was a nice shahoyah. It wasn't a fairy tale that he made up. He used that as an example to show us how Ben Odom HaChaver and Mokom also depends on Midos. But it's more subtle, understand? Midos and Ben Odom HaChaver, or Ben Odom HaChaver is Midos. Ben Odom HaMokom is much more subtle, much more sophisticated. And he gives that story to illustrate it. So that's why I asked the Talmud, how are things with him and his wife? And if he tells me that they're fine, Baruch Hashem, then I know that he's a young man who's working on his midos. And if he's working on his midos, then he's working on all other areas of Chodesh Hashem are also in order. Interesting comment the Sforno makes here also on Midos. Anichot and Posek Vov. Omer Vayomer El Moshe Yisro tells Moshe Anichot Sencho Yisro. I'm your father-in-law. I've come to stay with you, boy and all. Come to visit you. Look at the Sforno. Higzin Nohodio Derech Musur. He came to tell him initially, what's he telling him, Anichot Sencho Yisro? He knows that he's his father-in-law, meaning to say that I have come, I'm your father-in-law, and I have come to be with you for a while. That's what he means to say. Anicho senko yisro, says in the Pasuk, Vayomer Moshe, Anicho senko yisro bo einecho. I've come to stay with you a while. So he's giving him notice that he plans to visit with him for a while, that we should prepare a proper place for him to stay. Hivdi nohodiyah. Derech Musa, Naman Yucha Meheichin Mokom Lishifto. He should prepare a place for them to sleep by him. And then he brings down the Gemara from Nido, that a person isn't supposed to come into his own home without notifying his wife. Knocking on the door, ringing the bell is also sufficient. Maybe she may not be ready for her husband to come in. Maybe she has to finish getting dressed or something like that. Her hair may not be covered. So, Achas Kama Vakama, if you're coming into somebody else's home, you have to give them a little notice. They should be able to prepare properly for you.
Okay.
Yes?
Many times when people have guests, you say to the guest, make yourself at home.
Yeah.
Some guests take it more literally than others. Right? Some guests, you also have to see them and you still have to serve them. And some guests, they'll come down and they'll be making breakfast for everybody.
Yeah.
It depends on the person. Now, if you say that to someone, I mean, what are you supposed to do? I mean, they obviously, they don't want to serve you because it's annoying for them, but, I mean, there's a balance, but if you're supposed to behave properly, but they want you to feel comfortable, I mean, what do you do?
I want to tell you something. He just reminded me of a big yisod in Achnasas Arkim that the Rosh itself told me that he practiced. The Gemara says that the first day a man comes to your home, you're supposed to serve him expensive meats. The second day, you can give him chicken. The third day, fish. The fourth day, you can give him vegetables. So it looks like you're hinting to the guy every day he's there, that it's one day already too much. So the first day is a big messiah. Very nice, you have to push up the guests and they give them expensive meats. But before you look around, you're scaling down the fare, becoming cheaper and cheaper. So it looks like you're hinting to the guy, listen, you stayed here for a couple of days, it was very nice, but don't you think you should move on to your next sadhya? The Rav said, the Chazal are telling us that the yisod of achnosas orchim is to make a person feel at home. That's what reminded me of the story. The first time a man comes, he's a stranger yet, so therefore you have to give him expensive meats, not your usual fare. You can't afford to give people that kind of food. The second day, you give him chicken, the third day, fish. The fourth day, he's supposed to be like a member of the family. The family eats vegetables every night because it's the cheapest meal. Well, therefore, you're supposed to give him also that type of food. That's the regular, normal food of the family. But the truth is that that is the yisod of achnosas orchim, is to make a person feel at home. But you have to meet it, and he has to, you know, not take advantage of it, yourself, so to speak. But that is the yisod of achnosas orchim, and he brought that raya from a chazal. If a man feels at home, then you know that you're mekayem the mitzvah properly. When we have bachrim at our home for Shabbos, so I told them that I don't know that I'm mekayem the mitzvah of Nosos Orchim until they go to the refrigerator themselves, nosy around the kitchen and take some cookies and cake and go open up the refrigerator and take some soda. They make themselves at home, that I know I'm a kind of mitzvah properly. There's also a very interesting sforno on the chorus of Tov on the Zion. He went to greet his shvera and he bowed down to him and he kissed him and asked about his welfare. A very interesting sforno here. Moshe Rabbeinu went out towards to greet his father-in-law. Because of his chashivus, the leader of Kal Yisrael, he didn't refrain from going out and welcoming them into the home. They give them so much cover. So he says that a person who did so much for him when he was in Sardis, when he was running away from Dosan, Yaviram, and so on, a person who did so much from him, so he spared no effort to repay his kindness, even though now he was the whole big shot. Now Yisroel comes, he's not a fugitive running away for his life. Now he heads a nation of 2 million people. But he himself was like a mammoth. So he said that did not leave him to forget what was done to him when he was running away for his life. The Rosh Hashanah once told a story that of Yeshua Maitiskin was in Europe and he was forced to run away in the middle of the night because a couple people squealed on him that he was spying. He ran away to Eretz Yisrael. So the Rosenthal said, the way he told the story, while he and his wife are packing up their packages, so he asks his wife, he says, you know, I don't understand it. The two people that snitched on him, he knew who they were. We'll call them Reuven and Shimon to maintain their anonymity. So he says, why Reuven told on me, I know. Because I once did him a big favor. But why Shimon told on me, I don't understand. I never did him any favors. Understand? So it's a strange psychology. Sometimes the bigger the favor you do a person, the less he appreciates it. A chorus of Tov is not something that you can take for granted. And therefore we shouldn't take it for granted. We should go out of our way to express it. Even though now the situation may be reversed and now we don't need the man's help. But if a person goes out of his way to help us, we should not forgive. We should remember it. And I wanted to point out this Rashi and Ches also, Vayesaper Moshe Mechosno. He told his father all that Hashem did for them, to Paro and to Mitzrayim. So look what Rashi says, Vayesaper Moshe Mechosno, Nimshoch Nibo Mekorvo Matoira. He told them this in order to bring him closer to Torah. How much Hashem loves Yisrael, how Hashem watches over Kal Yisrael. That's why he told this to them.
Isn't this part of what Yisrael heard already?
What?
Isn't this part of what Yisrael heard already when he was hearing about Chris Yosef and Amalek?
I didn't hear. I'm sorry.
Isn't this part of what Yisrael already heard when he was hearing about Chris Yosef and Amalek? So what was Moshe going to be Mechadish did?
But obviously he wanted to embellish it probably more. More details, and you know, you may have heard generally. That's why we guess what we have to say. So I wanted to point out here an interesting point. We're very big today on being Makari for Choking. People who have strayed away from Yiddishkeit. We have whole professional organizations now of Kiru people and so on. And it certainly is a big mitzvah, very big mitzvah. But we have to remember that a person has to be Makariv Kroivim also. Not just strangers, you got to be Makariv. A lot of people don't understand that. A person has to go out of his way to cultivate warm relationships between himself and relatives. And it's a Gemara in Yevamos, an interesting Gemara in Yevamos, Samech Beis, Omed Beis, a Gemara in Yevamos, speaks about the virtue of being Makarev Krovin. Exactly what the Gemara talks about. Samach Dalet Omed Beis. Samach Beis Omed Beis. The Gemara says, Hamakarev is Krovov. A person who's Makarev is, the whole Gemara is interesting, but at this point I want to mention. A person is Makarev his relatives. So there's a special bracha, Olav HaKosev Omer, Oz Tidra Vashem Yaneh. If this person, who's Makari of his relatives, if he'll call to Hashem, Hashem will answer him. Tishova V'yomer Hineni, and Hashem will tell him Hineni. You hear? Gevaltik Eschus, the Rav Zitzal, I remember clearly, once flew from Chicago to Los Angeles. It's a long trip, round trip, 4,000 miles. From Chicago to Los Angeles, he was there the most one day, back and forth. He went to see an aunt. The whole trip was just to see an aunt. And once we were living in Miami, there was another Talmid of his who was a Rav there. And he drove up from Miami to New Orleans. It's a very long distance. Just to get out of the state of Florida is 400 miles. He drove from Miami to New Orleans just also to see an aunt. I was pretty sure that just to see a relative. Because he held that an aunt and an uncle, to out of your way for an aunt and uncle is a mitzvah of kibbutz for him. But that's why it was especially important for him. That a person has to go out of his way for relatives. And a lot of people take them for granted, you know, and they don't. A lot of times there's families, they don't talk to each other, you know what I mean? And sometimes there can be mahokas, and sometimes it's not that they're on bad terms, but sometimes they don't make time, you know, to visit relatives or to create good relations with relatives. It's very important, this one. So that's the Makariv Eskrov. And certainly a major part of that mitzvah is to be Makariv them to Torah. That goes without saying, but you got to say that too. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu did here by Yisro. He wanted to tell him all the details of what happened to be Makariv and Nin Shoch Libo, to draw his heart Nakirvo Matoyu, to bring him close to Torah. Then it's also, we'll conclude with this point, when he gives Moshe Rabbeinu the advice how he should deal with all the shyness that Kal Yisrael come and so on, to ask questions and halacha, general hadracha and guidance and so on. So he tells him that he has to appoint judges who will be like assistants for him. And it's interesting, when he finishes his advice, he also mentions to Moshe Rabbeinu that he should check with the Eibishter before he does it, to make sure that it follows the Das Torah, even though it was Yisro's advice. There's an Ibn Ezra on Pasuk in the Yud Tes, Omer lo b'sof ha-dvorim, shi'yikach reshus me'es Hashem elo eitzo hazot. He should take, get permission from Hashem to make sure that he's giving him the right advice. Even though it was Yisro's advice, he also wanted to be sure it was the right advice. So he said you should ask Hashem if it's the right thing to do. A person has to, when he looks for Torah guidance, he has to look for a Das Torah, not something that sounds good, or that seems to be logical. At the end of Shani, he mentions the qualities that these assistant judges should have. Yirei Anshe Chayo, Yirei Elokim, Anshe Emes, Sonei Botza. All that mention are midos. This is the basis for the Rabbeinu B'chai that we mentioned before. You have to look for people who have the right kind of qualities, midos, character traits, personality traits, to be judges in Kal Yisrael. The Gevaltik Rabbeinu B'chai and the importance of midos. We'll stop here. Thank you.